My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Inocero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Jay.
What's going on, Inocero? We're getting close to the end of the regular season, my friend.
We are very much approaching the end. We are on the home stretch.
Hey, Senior Bowl invites are going out now.
Yes,
man.
And now they just changed it so that juniors can get invites to the Senior Bowl.
And that's big.
Which is huge. It's great for the draft prospects because these young guys get an opportunity to get some NFL-level coaching and get to showcase what they can do. And I'm happy for those kids because, sure, to be honest, this is something that should have happened a long time ago.
No, East-West Shrine Game, they can as well. What it was you're a fourth-year junior, you could go.
Yes.
But the problem is, you know, waiting, all right, can you go? This thing is for talented, for the players to be in the NFL. I mean, this is an evaluation process. What was the holdup of having only seniors? I mean, it's when it first started, okay, the Senior Bowl, the seniors graduate and go on. School, it's different now because you got name, image, likeness, and you got everything else. It's just a different – the NCAA football is just different now. So this made a ton of sense, and it'll make the Senior Bowl – I always hated when – I was watching it going, man, I wish that junior could go because a lot of times that's some of the most talented people anyway. Because a lot of these guys, had they been extremely talented, they would have gone their junior year instead of their senior.
Or redshirt sophomore year.
Most of them. But I was just reading 33rd team latest mock draft. I know we'll talk about that in a little bit. But eight receivers in the first round. Yeah. I'm not playing. What I'm saying, these receivers, there's a bunch of them in the first round. And for the Chiefs, again, sitting at the end, yeah, you're not going to get Marvin Harrison Jr., but you're going to get a quality receiver.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good talent at the wide receiver group in this draft class. The Chiefs will have a lot of options for what they can do. We're gonna really tackle the mock drafts here because there's a ton that have been coming out here over the last month, and this is really where the time where we're starting to see stock rising, stock falling. Guys moving up and down. Valuation starting to become concrete. It hasn't solidified yet. It's now in that stage where they've shaped it and now it needs to dry. But right now, there's a lot of guys out there who can still make some money for themselves. There's still guys who are rising. Guys setting up for the draft in 25 because they're not eligible this year. Guys like Luther Burden. Guys like Ollie Gordon. But there are is a lot of talent in this draft class. And so I wanted to go through and kind of get a feel for where people in the media are assessing value as it pertains to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, obviously, we don't know exactly where the Chiefs are going to be picking. Most of the mock drafts that I found these picks off of had the Chiefs at 31. Some of them were 32. One of them was 25. But yeah, I know, right? I know. But for the most part, these are all late first round. And again, in all likelihood, maybe one of these picks will be right.
Yeah, how would you like maybe to follow the Bengals or Bills and try to figure out where your team is going to be
right,
drafting?
Yeah.
Teams can be drafted maybe better than we thought.
Yeah, they actually might be. They might be picking in the early 20s, if not the late teens, considering the way that their seasons are going.
But good news, Bengals fans, you can replace T. Higgins.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. You have plenty of options with T. Higgins if the season keeps going the way that it is. So I want to tackle where the media has the Chiefs going in the first round. And I want to start with Pro Football Focus. I think one of the better organizations as far as evaluating talent for the draft. And they've got the Chiefs taking Jalen Polk, wide receiver out of Washington. Guy that you really like, a guy that's really started to climb up boards there. Started the year as the number three wide receiver in Washington behind Romo Dunze and Jalen McMillan. He has slowly but surely climbed up. McMillan has had some injury issues that have prevented him from playing the last few weeks. And so Jalen Polk has had that chance to really show what he can do, and he shined in that role.
I can't remember what I've seen, Chris, so many schools with multiple receivers or three in Washington's case.
There's a few schools, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but like Brian Thomas, LSU, Malik Nabers.
USC's got some good receivers. USC's got Florida multiple. State's got
Texas
them.
Has A.D. Mitchell, Texas, Xavier yeah. Worthy, Manuel Ibuka, Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, Florida State. I mean, you go on and on. But Jalen Polk is interesting. He's 6'2", 190, so it kind of falls in that over 6 foot category.
I mean, most of these guys are going to be over 6 foot.
Wide receiver.
I think Xavier Worthy is the only one that's under 6 feet that's considered potentially a first rounder.
Xavier Worthy is interesting, too, because he returns kicks as well, and that's been a guy marked to the Chiefs.
He's been picked a lot for the Chiefs late in the first round.
But I'll say this. Jalen Polk, though, is interesting because he was nowhere near getting the run at the beginning of the year that he's getting now. 6'1 is Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, it was actually Ladd McConkey. I'm tripping. It's
Ladd McConkey's just a tad under, but man, he's been climbing boards too. Speaking of
yeah, he has. We talked a lot about him the last couple weeks. But yeah, Jalen Polk is definitely an interesting option right now. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the combine, because I think that is really going to kind of determine where his value is, because he really came on this year. So the question is going to be, how better of an athlete are you than the rest of the guys at your position? So that'll be interesting there. For Sports Illustrated, they put out a 3-round mock. First round, they've got the Chiefs taking Brian Thomas Jr., your guy at LSU, wide receiver. Second round, they've gotten taken Jordan Morgan, a tackle out of Arizona. And in the third round, they've got Nazir Stackhouse, a defensive tackle from Georgia, in the third.
All positions are neat here. We're real quick on Brian Thomas.
Right.
He's about 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, he's tall. Very tall. He's like a Marquez Valdes-Scantling type.
He's got 13 touchdowns. I mean, the guy is a red zone threat. He's got more than Malik Nabers. He has more than Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. has 12. Brian Thomas has been an absolute positive stud. He's got, for what he does, he's just one of the more impressive guys to me, because he kind of, you know, off the radar a little bit at first because everybody's talking about Malik Nabers at LSU, which they should. But, yeah, he's been an incredible, incredible player. And if you haven't seen him play, most people I've seen that have talked to about LSU games will say, hey, man, what do you think about Brian Thomas?
Yeah.
I'm like, I like Brian Thomas a lot.
Yeah, like I said, he reminds me a lot of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Tall, fast.
Don't say that.
I mean, just the type. Not obvious. Like, I think we could both agree, Marquez is one of those guys that should be producing more than he is based
like
on his
MBS,
talent.
Yes, but I'm just saying, man.
Based on his talent. I'm just talking about talent.
Like, okay, I've heard many comparisons.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, just from that part, he should be producing more based on the talent that he has. Brian Thomas Jr., very similar in that he is tall, he's got some speed to him, and I think that could definitely give him an advantage at the professional level.
Well, honestly, that's why I like MVS, is he's 6'4 frame, he runs a 4.37. I mean, he was a combine stud, and a couple years ago he had the fastest timed
on field. Run. Yeah,
it was like 22 miles an hour, something like that. But it's a great to be compared with that athletically. And I kid earlier is pretty good to have. I'm just thinking sky's the limit, Brian. I mean, again,
yeah,
eight receivers in the latest 33rd mock, and that's going to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, and then CBS, a little bit of a head scratcher here. They've got the Chiefs taking Denzel Burke, cornerback out of Ohio State. And I understand this is kind of what happens with mock drafts, is they see outgoing players, and their first thought is, oh, that means they have to replace them, because if that player's leaving, they're going to have a hole on their roster. I can tell you this right now. I would be very surprised if the Chiefs went cornerback in the first round, because they have a very good cornerback room outside of L'Jarius Sneed. Let's not forget, L'Jarius Sneed has had some injury issues the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they've relied a lot on their young corners. Guys like Trent McDuffie, guys like Jalen Watson, guys like Joshua Williams. They're not hurting for corners right now. Like, if they're going to go corner, I would say that it'll be a L'Jarius Sneed type on the third day. A great athlete who has gone underappreciated, and they think they can coach him up into a professional corner. But I don't think they're going to go corner in the first 2 days.
No, I don't either, because they have built, you know, really the premises of what this team has done the last couple of years. Build up a secondary. You know, it's worked.
Yeah,
it's right now second in the NFL in passing. It's in passing defense. They've done their job. They've shut down scoring as well. I mean, obviously the whole defense has, but they're sitting number two in scoring defense, and they've been incredible. But they've been so heavy on that. Five defensive backs who are rookies playing last year's Super Bowl. I think they can afford maybe not to dabble in those waters, and it really depends on Sneed which direction they go.
I mean, I think we're both in agreement. Sneed's probably going to be playing for another team in 2024. I just don't think that losing Sneed is something that needs to be heavily addressed with a high draft pick, because I think that they've prepared to lose L'Jarius Sneed since before last season. I think they were pretty resolute. We got to get bigger. We got to get stronger at that position. We got to get better tacklers at that position. And we got to get guys like the Chiefs right now are top five in man coverage usage in the league on defense. I believe that the Chiefs are going to prioritize getting someone like him, but they're not going to necessarily go and get him per se. Plus, I think also they might already have that guy in their roster in Chamari Connor, because we know they like Chamari Connor. We know that he plays that similar style that Sneed does. He's not the cover guy that Sneed is, but he is someone that can blitz from that slot position, that can be that more physical tackling style of DB. I think that he's their kind of guy, and maybe he's going to be the one that kind of plays that role that Sneed was playing before outside of the corner.
Yeah, he was my favorite draft pick by the Chiefs just because of his versatility. He plays a nickel, can play any corners, and safety. I mean, he just does it all.
Right.
And, he led Virginia Tech in sacks in 2019. I mean, it wasn't very many at that point. It was like four or five. But
he blitzed a lot.
He's shown the propensity to get to the quarterback. So I think all in all, that was something to hold over L'Jarius Sneed, either for the contract to give you another one. It's something the Chiefs don't often do, and move on. Because a lot of times, like you said, they'll draft somebody, and you can tell the writing's kind of on the wall for the play. And this goes even back before
Charvarius Ward.
It just goes to John Dorsey.
John Dorsey did it a lot.
Pioli did it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times they'll draft offensive linemen, and you'll see, okay, that's somebody to replace.
That's the next starting left tackle.
Derek Fisher.
That's the next guard, you know, something like that. And not only that, and we've talked about this before. Like, we talked about this during the summer. The Chiefs are not a team that's going to hand out middle-class contracts like that. They're just not. And they would have to give out a middle-class Charvarius Ward-type contract for L'Jarius Sneed. Because Sneed ain't going to go for cheap. He's not coming back on I'd be surprised if he comes back on a one-year deal. I think that this is a prime situation. He goes and gets good money from a team that needs a good, big, physical corner that they can put on the outside against top receivers, and they're going to pay a good price for that, and the Chiefs will already have the backup plan ready to go. So, yeah, I don't think that Denzel Burke or any corner is going to be there in the first round, and the Chiefs are going to be like, yeah, we got to go get that. USA Today had a two-round mock that they put out. And in the first round, they've got the Chiefs taking wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbuka. And then in the second round, they got them taking Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker out of Clemson.
One of the guys on our watch list to watch because he makes plays.
Makes plays all the time. He's a big playmaker on that Clemson defense.
If Ibuka was still there at that point, it's good. He's been hurt a little bit, but we're talking top 10 pick when things first came out, and I still see, 10 to 20, something like that. So if he's still there at the end of the first round, by the way, as far as these receivers, because, of course, it's loaded. Everybody thinks Chiefs should get a wide receiver. The record is 7 wide receivers in the first round back in 2004. We had 6 in 2020, but an NFL record 13 wide receivers went in the first 2 rounds. That record will be broken this year.
For sure.
They'll at least, at minimum, tie first-round receivers at 7. Could go over to 8, but it's interesting. We see how these receivers. Here's the thing with Ibuka. We've talked about it before. Ohio State. Again, I don't know if the Chiefs grab the second receiver at Ohio State, sitting where they're at. And here's the other interesting thing. We mentioned earlier that all these teams have multiple players. That's the toughest thing in the draft to do when you're evaluating talent. When you say, okay, there's 2 wide receivers, 3 wide receivers here. Who drew the best corner for the other team?
Who's the focus of the defense?
Because when you're watching these college teams, a lot of them may have one guy that plays in the NFL as a defensive back. It might be a 4th or 5th round pick. But if he's going against like a Kool-Aid McKinstry, something like that, you'll say, all right, well, who'd Nick Saban put Kool-Aid on? Which receiver, they played LSU. Okay, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas. One guy's drawing Kool-Aid. I think they both faced him a little bit in that game.
Yeah.
But that's the most dangerous thing. And the Chiefs have found this out. Ryan Sims was on the same defensive line as Julius Peppers. We've seen more and more teams with people taking, defensive line, both on a good one. I think this can be a challenge for wide receivers in this year's draft because some guys are putting up big numbers. But you know what? It's because of maybe the attention one of the other receivers. Like Ibuka, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to draw double teams. He's drawing corner and he's drawing safety help. So when you see Ibuka put up numbers, you're sitting there going.
That's the thing that concerns me too.
Which, by the way, Jackson Smith in Jigba.
Good job.
Is put up, by the way, he's been putting up incredible numbers this past month.
He is.
Speaking of Ohio State.
Some of that's come at the expense of like DK Metcalf and or Tyler Lockett. Yeah,
but speaking of wide receivers from Ohio State.
Yeah, but he is starting to find his way now. But yeah, that's the concern I have with Emeka Egbuka is that he's the number 2 guy. And he is not, we have not talked about him very much.
No, we've
brought him up as a player to watch, but we have not talked about him like, oh my God, he just killed it this week.
No, we haven't. But here's the thing. I mean, going back to having multiple guys, because Garrett Wilson, obviously a stud in the NFL. Chris Olave, obviously a stud in the NFL. They were in the same receiver room at Ohio State. Oh, by the way, Jackson Smith and Jigba was better than all those guys.
He was
better than Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. So that was a wide receiver room with 3 kind of playmaking type wide receivers. And they're all good.
Yeah, and Garrett Wilson and Olave have both been awesome. Garrett Wilson, 1,000-yard receiver last year. Olave was pretty close, I think, to 1,000 yards last year. And he's having a good year this year. So certainly we can see that at least Wilson and Olave have been really good at the NFL level. Jackson Smith and Jigba starting to come along now. I do worry about Egbuka because he is not the focus of the defense. It is Marvin Harrison Jr. It is Travion Henderson. It's guys like that are drawing away the attention, and he's not having to deal with that. So, yeah, I am. That does concern me about it. So I don't know if I'd be 100% on the Egbuka bandwagon if they decided to go that route. I'd have to see some more once they get to mini camp and then eventually training camp.
You still want to see more production. Again, he hasn't played all those games. His last 5 games, though, look at these numbers. 1 for 12 yards, 4 for 29, 3 for 40. 7 for 96 is more kind of, how he's characterized in 4 for 57.
But he's just the other there.
He is 27 for 344 in 7 games this year.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, last year, he had 74 for 1151, 10 touchdowns. I mean, that was
he's definitely insane. Suffered from the lack of C.J. Stroud there. And that's the thing that kind of concerns.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I mean, it's like, you know, if you were never the guy during your time there, it's like, yeah, maybe Egbuka's probably falling out of the first round, I kind of feel like. And then as for Jeremiah Trotter Jr., maybe. I kind of have my doubts, though, with Drew Tranquil being a guy that they really like now and with Leo Chanel really coming along.
If they bring Drew back.
If they bring him back, but I kind of feel like they will because I think he'll be cheaper than Gay. I don't think Gay's going to be back next year.
It's a position I do believe they need, but I'd put it probably in fourth or fifth in the hierarchy.
Right, I would say that like they'll probably see if they can get Drew Tranquil back on a cheaper deal. Or hope that Leo Chanel takes that next step forward. Because Chanel's already a great run defender. He's just not a guy you can play in pass coverage right now. So maybe he takes that next step forward as a coverage linebacker. And then they don't have to make that move. Yeah. But I don't see them going linebacker in the second round this year. Even though I like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Moving on here. 33rd team had the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. Which I'd be cool with. A guy that if... Of the wide receivers I have seen mocked to the Chiefs a lot, he's one of the most common ones I've seen really since the beginning of the college football season.
Tavian Sanders, the tight end from Texas, was kind of the...
Another option, too. He's been the popular tight end.
He was the
popular
pick for the Chiefs in early mocks. But you're right, it's been a lot of Xavier Worthy.
It's been a ton of Xavier Worthy. So I'd be cool with that. I like Xavier Worthy a lot. The Athletic had them taking Tyler Guyton, a tackle out of Oklahoma. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I don't think they're taking a tackle high in the draft anymore because what game was that they played? It was the Chargers game. One snap, Donovan Smith out. They put Wanya in.
They put Wanya right there at left tackle.
And they don't, and it was just one snap. But I believe that if Donovan Smith could not have gone in that second half, Wanya would have played the entire second half at left tackle. They dressed him. They hadn't dressed him all season long.
I don't get one, but
they dressed him.
When you get one at the end of the first round, we probably look at what you could do in the second round or third round.
Right. I mean, I feel like they're perfectly content with Wanya. I think Wanya, they looked at him and they were like, this could be a potential swing tackle for us. He played on both sides in college. So if... Whatever happens with Juwan, we can put Wanya on the other side of that, and we can give him a redshirt year to learn. And I think that's the reason why Donovan Smith was brought in. Let's bring him in. Let's have Donovan teach him how to play left tackle because he hasn't played it since he was at Tennessee, and then we're going to work him up there. And I think that they are I think they're feeling comfortable enough with Wanya to throw him out there because they very could have easily made another switch. They could have put Allegretti in and moved Tooney over to left tackle, something that they did, I think, last year when they had an injury with Orlando Brown Jr. So I think if they felt like they absolutely did not trust Wanya, they wouldn't have put him out there in that situation. So I kind of doubt that first round they're going to go tackle. If they go tackle, maybe third round, fourth round, something around there. But I'm not confident.
It's a tough decision because it is somebody to protect Mahomes. I mean, you got to understand that. But there's, I don't know, when it comes to Mahomes, which you should be centered around your draft for, you have to make a decision. Right? Do we need a weapon for him? Clearly, he needs weapons on offense.
Yeah.
Does he need people to protect him? Yeah. The Chiefs right now sit number one in the NFL and fewest sacks given up.
Yeah, and a lot of that is Mahomes. Mahomes' ability to move around and avoid sacks. He probably would be sacked a lot more because these receivers struggle to get open. But I do think that Mahomes aids the tackles a lot in avoiding sacks. And I think that that kind of makes the job of the tackles a bit easier. Because if you know if you get beat, unless you just get wildly beat, like immediately one move, you lose that rep. I mean, unless that happens, you know, Mahomes will bail you out with his mobility. So I think the Chiefs are more than welcome to go out there and let Wanye Morris learn on the job a bit next year if they really feel comfortable with his progress. SB Nation had the Chiefs taking Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington. I'll say this right now. I don't think he's going to be there at 31.
No.
Or 32 or wherever they're picking at the back of the end of the first round.
I think he's, top 15? 33rd, I can't remember. They had him going extremely high.
Yeah, I think they had him, right after Harrison. I think it was, right after Harrison.
I think they had Harrison as the top when they had Malik Nabers number two.
Okay, so he was
and he was right around there. Keon, Malik Nabers was eight. And then Keon, it was right around with Keon Coleman.
Yeah. Yeah, I do not think Odunze is going to be there late in the first round. Like, if that happened, something was off. Like, there's something wrong with him if he fell that far. Like, injury or medical or behavioral, something happened that cost him draft position because he's too talented to be going late first round. Then Sporting News had the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State, one of my favorite receivers in this draft class. He's 6'4". Bigger bodied guy, but he's got some speed to him. He's got some agility to him. And I think he could end up being the most dangerous receiver in this draft class because of that. So I'm a little skeptical about it because I kind of feel like he's going to kill it at the combine and at his pro day. And if that happens, I think his draft stock's going to explode. I think he could end up being the number two receiver taken behind Marvin Harrison Jr.,
the former Kansas football recruit. I actually committed there.
He did?
But another guy that returns kicks. So that's another twofold guy.
More value there.
For the Kansas City Chiefs. And when you think about the guy, and he's a big returner, too. He's 6'4".
He's huge.
6'4", 215. And Odunze, we just talked about, 6'3". Again, big physical wide receivers.
Walter Football, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I almost didn't put this on here. Walter Football has the Chiefs taking Malik Nabers, wide receiver.
I wish. Nabers is my second favorite.
Yes, he's my second favorite wide receiver in his draft class. I love him. He's Mr. Consistent. All he does is get 10 catches over 100 yards and usually a touchdown every other
game.
Did
you see that was a record because it was 10 catches. It's a record, wasn't it?
Yeah.
10 catches, 150 plus yards.
That's all he does. All he does, he's good for 10 and 100 every game. Like, every game, 10 and 100. That's all he does is get 10 catches and 100. He's producing right now like Stephon Diggs is right now for the Bills. Just like every time he's out there, good for 10 catches, 100-plus yards every single week. And
I do believe that was a record that he set.
If it was, I wouldn't be surprised. Because this is NFL-level production that Nabers is putting up right now. Like, number one, top five receiver production. Every week, you know he's going to catch the ball a bunch. You know he's going to run after the catch. Like, he had a play against Florida where he just simple hitch route on a third and medium, caught it, turned it into like a 20, 30-yard reception. Just caught it, turned around, and just ran. He's very slippery. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you want at an NFL receiver. Ryan reminds me
tough,
a lot
kinda,
of.
Go ahead.
He reminds me a lot of Stephon Diggs. Like, just consistent. He's a great route runner. I would be shocked if he fell this far.
Kind of reminds me of someone that played there, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they.
I don't think he's quite as explosive as Chase is, but he's very silky smooth when he's running his routes, when he catches it after the pass. I mean, when he runs after the catch, like, everything about him is just smooth. It just looks easy.
It was 6 for 132. He had 10 for 171, then 4 for 121. Gosh, who was it that had the three straight? Was it? It wasn't Keon hadn't put up those numbers in the last three.
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember, but yeah, but Keon puts up numbers, but you can't go wrong in LSU. LSU knows
LSU just draft. they make great wide receivers. They always have them. I mean, it's like if you want to get a running back, Alabama's a great place to go get a running back because they always seem to have good running backs. You want to get an edge rusher, Ohio State's a great place to go get your edge rusher. Defensive tackles generally play their the best ones a lot of times will play at Clemson. You want to get a tight end? Go look at Iowa. Kirk Ferentz is only throwing to tight ends there. He doesn't throw to any wide receivers there. There's just certain places that have certain positions that are really great constantly, and wide receivers for LSU for sure. Another one I don't see happening. Yard Barker has the Chiefs taking Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa. Again, corner, not a position I think the Chiefs will address in the first round. I think, again, it'll be a Legarius Sneed type, Joshua Williams type. On the third day, somewhere there, they're going to be like, okay, we really like this guy because he's a great athlete, and we're going to take a shot on him. I just don't think that they need to have a corner hop.
Yeah, I don't think they make justification for getting Trent McDuffie like they did 2 years ago right. In the first round. Again, different needs.
And McDuffie's going to get a big contract. Once they get through his fifth year option, he's going to get a big contract. Like, there's no way around that. He's going to get a huge, pretty hefty extension, I think. Then you've got ESPN. Jordan Reed from ESPN put out a mock draft. He's got them taking Troy Franklin, a wide receiver out of Oregon. This was a guy I saw get a lot of hype in way too early at the beginning of the season, and then he kind of slowly disappeared from the mocks, and there hadn't been any hype for him. And then recently you started to see him get more hype, and you look at him, and he's producing very well for Oregon right now.
Bo Nix guy, main threat.
Bo Nix has had a hell of a season this year, and he's the top guy there for Bo Nix. So.
Put it this way, you were talking about big plays. He had two catches, 147 yards.
A lot of yards.
Against USC. A touchdown in three straight games, four out of the last five. Week before that, 6 for 79, 8 for 99, 4 for 79, then 8 for 154. He's 6'2", over 170 pounds. Again, and he's getting a lot of run now because of Oregon, obviously,
yeah. And
how well they're playing him. Bo Nix, that's currently the number one in the Heisman Trophy odds at wide receiver or at quarterback, it's his main guy.
Yeah, he's definitely working his way up. So I definitely think that's someone to look out for, especially as we get into combine season and whatnot. Because I really do think if he performs well at the Senior Bowl, if he does participate in it, and if he then has a really strong combine, I think that's a guy who could end up rising boards even more and maybe even replace like an Emeka Egbuka in the first round. Because I really do think like a lot of teams are looking at this and like, we got to stock up on talent. There's all these great quarterbacks, especially in the AFC. Let's stock up on talent to make it easier for them. And then finally, the last mock draft pick that I saw, Fox Sports had the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State. Again, if we're doing hierarchy of guys I'd love the Chiefs to have at wide receiver in this draft, number one, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. Number two, Malik Nabers. Number three would be Keon Coleman. I love this kid. The fact that he's that height, 6'4", with that kind of athleticism, that speed, that agility, the fact that he can return kicks at 6'4". Like, what guys over 6'2" do you know are returning kicks?
Just freakish like athletes.
Yeah.
That have all that talent. And one thing is, with these mocks, you see the wide receiver talent. I'll tell you what, a lot of years, if it wasn't for Marvin Harrison Jr., and it would be a race to see which one of these guys was the first overall. I think Malik Nabers could have been the first overall receiver taken. Keon Coleman could put himself where he could have been the first wide receiver taken. But without Marvin Harrison Jr., you're looking at a host of guys that can make an argument being the first wide receiver taken. And again, I think if you want a receiver, this is the draft to do it. Again, 2004, you had 7 wide receivers in the first round. That was a record. Back in 2020, it was 13 in the first two rounds. this is going to rival that.
Yeah, I think
the second round is going to be loaded as well.
Yeah, I think so too. Guys like Tez Walker and whatnot are probably going to be looking second round, maybe third round value there. I'll say this, man. Like, I do agree with you. If Malik Nabers were in last year's draft, easy first receiver taken off the board. Like, easy. Would have been a top 10 guy, I think. That's just how talented he is.
That's why I think Luther Burden is in a great spot coming out next year.
Yeah.
Because he'd be kind of in the middle of the shuffle, lost in the shuffle of these great receivers.
There would be a big debate about him or Malik Nabers as the second wide receiver. There might even be a debate about him and Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, there might be people out there that try to put that conversation out there. But I for sure.
He's smaller.
He's smaller, but I don't think teams really care about that, especially when you see guys like Jordan Addison kill it as rookies and Jackson Smith and Jigba starting to show something and Tank Dell, you know, small guy, he's starting to show something now. So I think teams are starting to get past the whole size thing. So moving on to the prospect recap for the week. Starting off LSU, Florida, Jaden Daniels, man. He went 17 of 26 for 372 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns. He also had 12 carries for 234 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, say that again. Say that 234.
He averaged almost 20 yards a carry, which was ridiculous to watch because, you know, I'm a Florida fan. So I'm watching this. I'm just like, did they forget that Jaden Daniels can run? Is mainly known for his running than his passing?
He's a good passer. He's third Heisman odds at this point. Yeah. And the amount of losses LSU has, I mean, guys,
that'll prevent him from winning.
Well, I know, but you guys usually aren't even in the realm of this that have lost like LSU.
Yeah.
LSU, what, 3 losses now, I think?
I think they're 3 losses. I mean, they're still a really talented team, and, you know, they're going to get really hit by the draft this coming season.
Now 5-7-3. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they're definitely going to get hit by the draft. But man, like Jaden Daniels, that's a guy. Like I said, I think second round. There's going to be some teams out there that are going to look to bring him in. They've already got their quarterback right now, but they need a stopgap. They need a future guy that they can develop. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to be that project.
This goes back to when he's at Arizona State. Does both things well. Throw, run. You name it. Does everything around.
Malik Nabers had 6 receptions for 132 yards. Again, just Mr. Consistent. Brian Thomas Jr., 6 catches, 150 yards, 2 receptions.
2 touchdowns. The funny thing is Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I mean, they're both performing. I don't think we have to worry about the second guy syndrome with Brian Thomas Jr. because he's also as well one of the top touchdown. I think he's the top touchdown scorer for wide receivers this year. I think he leads the FBS, but I think he's also top 10 in receiving yards as well. I think he's like number 7 or 8. So he's really producing a lot, and he's really showcasing that he's not just the other next to Malik Nabers. So that's a good sign for him. And then also Ricky Pearsall for Florida, 7 catches, 103 receiving yards, probably a late round guy. But that's a guy I would look at, depending on if he goes to a good system, good quarterback, he could be a surprise receiver down the road.
Which I think, as far as the Chiefs are concerned, you know, I do think they got to go first round wide receiver, but don't leave the draft 1.
Yeah.
Draft 2 or 3 and get the guy like Pearsall later on.
Yeah, like third day. Just take a shot at him. I mean, a guy like, because he's not a speedster or anything, but he's a good route runner. He's a Justin Watson type guy. And if you can get a guy like him and he develops into a pretty good second receiving option for your team, you're feeling pretty damn good about that. Or even a good slot option.
Because
you do have Rashee Rice still. So if he turns into a good slot option, you're feeling pretty damn good about the future of your team. So then for Kansas State, they had Ben Sinnott, 3 receptions for 68 yards and a touchdown this past weekend. I feel like he's been very consistent. Generally somewhere over that 50-yard range, somewhere that 40 to 60-yard range for yards. Not getting a ton of targets, but, you know, tight ends, unless you're Brock Bowers, you're not going to see a ton of targets at the collegiate level.
Ben Sinnott's a guy you'll see going down in football with, like, 5 for 45 and 2 touchdowns. Yeah. He'll get a couple.
And you'll be like, where the hell did this dude come from? Like, Ben Sinnott, I think he's probably going to be, like, maybe a 3rd or 4th round guy. But I think whoever gets him is going to have a guy that could eventually break out. Yeah. And I think that's what you're looking for at tight end, is you're looking for a guy who could break out. He's He's not a guy you're going to line up wide all the time. He's going to be a guy you're going to want to line up in the actual traditional tight end spot a lot. He's a guy that does block out there, but you can move him everywhere. You can play H-back. You can play slot. He can play wide. I mean, this kid's talented. Marvin Harrison Jr., 7 catches, 149 yards and a touchdown. He's got 3 straight games with 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns in 3 of his last 6 games.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, he had, 25 yards receiving the game before?
Yeah. But
2 of them were touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he's been an albeit guy. I just thought that was kind of interesting to have 2 touchdowns in 3 straight games.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And that's what you want to see from a guy in his position, where he's clearly number one at his position.
We're getting 2 a game.
And a potential number one overall pick. Like, he might be the number one overall pick.
Matter of fact, a lot of these mocks do have him instead of Caleb.
Yeah, I've seen some.
I think there's more mocks that have that than the other way around.
Because I'll say this. Like, let's say the Cardinals end up with the number one overall pick. It would make more sense to me for them to go Marvin Harrison Jr. than for them to go Caleb Williams. Because it's going to be really hard for you to trade Kyler Murray. Because he hasn't played very much the last couple of years. Hasn't played great the last couple of years. But you know what you could do to help him out? You go get him a guy who's probably the closest thing you have to a superstar receiver in this draft class. Like, he's as close to you're going to get as a sure thing at that position in this draft class. So I think I would very much consider Marvin Harrison Jr. at number one if I were them. Though, I will say this, the Panthers look terrible. And the Panthers could very well be the team to go take him in the first round at number one overall if they don't try to trade out of that. Actually, no. It's the Bears. The Bears have the Panthers pick. So the Bears got a choice.
Because you want to stay with Justin Fields, you're willing to give up that.
The Bears got a choice.
Yeah, you're willing to give that up, or you want a serious play, man. Because I can see Marvin Harrison Jr. He's perennial Pro Bowl every single year.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Bears are not good, so they could feasibly draft him number one overall and then take a quarterback as well, because they're not good. So they could go get quarterback and wide receiver in the first round, the first 5.
Be like a Burrow, Jamar Chase,
exactly.
Where you draft him.
Exactly. You draft him, or in the same draft, you had Burrow and T. Higgins, and they turned
Burrow
into
and T.
Good,
Higgins,
good
then you group. Had Jamar
Chase
come later.
The next year, yeah. So, like, that would be a good position.
And they didn't get Penei Sewell, because even though he's good offensive line,
right.
They needed offensive line,
they
but
do.
That battery, that choice to have Burrow with this guy, because Jamar wanted Biletnikoff with him back at LSU.
Yeah.
On a same team that had Justin Jefferson as the number 2 receiver.
Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle for Ohio State, got a sack in Ohio State's game this weekend. So he's showing a little something there from the inside spot on the D-line. Ladd McConkey continuing his run of being the most dependable wide receiver pass catcher for Georgia since the injury to Brock Bowers. 4 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown.
On that Georgia team for back-to-back national titles.
Yep. So he's starting to show something. That was a guy going into the season you heard could potentially break out. Took him a little bit, but he's really showing something. We also had the return of Brock Bowers, who came back from that ankle injury probably a lot earlier than I think both of us thought
he would. Missed 2 games. High ankle sprain, 3 for 34 and a touch. By the way, the surgery must be pretty good.
Yeah, it must be pretty good. You come back from that, you have surgery right after,
well,
and you come back
had
faster.
That surgery for George as well,
yeah,
and
he's
not
back
like
yet.
The first-round guy.
Yeah, so, like, that's good for Bowers. Bowers doesn't need, like, I don't think he needs this for draft purposes. I think he's probably going to end up being top 10 anyways. But it's still a good look for him to get back and come back and be productive.
As we talked about a couple weeks ago when he first got hurt, it's like, this guy really likes to be out there. He'll be back out there for this team.
He'll be back there as soon as he can. Yeah, he cares. That man, and that's the kind of guy that a lot of teams want, because they
Mims
like
did it. Come back, by the way.
Oh, did he? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. That's good for him too. But yeah, like, got teams like guys like that who are willing to go out and do whatever they can to get back on the field.
And Amarius Mims, the offensive lineman for Georgia.
Yeah, he's
a tackle.
So. He was considered one of the best right tackles in the draft for this year. A lot of people liked him better than Broderick Jones, who was taken earlier this year by the Pittsburgh Steelers at 14 overall. So, yeah, Mims could definitely be an interesting option. Could be a guy that does end up in the first round. J.J. McCarthy, boy, did not play well against Penn State.
And Penn State's defense, they didn't throw the ball.
You know, he had 8 attempts, 7 of 8 for 60 yards passing.
It was an interesting. No, 7 of 8, though. It was an interesting.
It was like 1940s football, the way that they ran that team with J.J. McCarthy.
That was an interesting strategy that
it worked. They ended up winning the game pretty comfortably, but it was still a very weird game to just see them try to play like this was 1940s before they, you know, way before they had
Harbaugh
the Mel
didn't
Blunt
coach
rule.
In this one.
No, he did not coach in this game. He suspended the rest of the season from being on the sidelines during games for Michigan because of the whole sign stealing scandal.
But he's got a hearing this Friday.
He does have, and the school is attempting to sue to get that order rescinded. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, that was just a weird ass game. But it helped out Blake Corum. He got 26 carries.
44 carries.
Yes. Blake Corum had 26 carries for 145 and 2 touchdowns. Donovan Edwards had 10 carries for 52 yards.
And his yards per carry has been down this year, Donovan Edwards. But the one thing about him is he catches the ball a ton.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a guy that teams like because what he can do out of the backfield catching the football. I mean, he's been a go-to guy for Michigan this year. He's got 24 catches, 225 yards this year. So Donovan's been used more in that role.
Yeah, and there's a ton of value there. Being a pass-catching back, because like, we see this a lot in the NFL now. You have your running back that is just going to get the carries. They're going to be the guy that's going to get 12 to 15 carries every game. Then the second back, a lot of times, is the receiving back. They might get like 4 or 5 carries a game, maybe, depending on how much the team runs the football, but they're good for like 2 to 3 receptions a game. And I think that's where we're seeing that situation with Edwards and Corum. Corum's kind of becoming the traditional running back, and then you've got Edwards who's more the pass catcher.
Yeah, Blake Corum's 10 for 63. I will say this, though. His yards per carry, Donovan Edwards, way down.
Not good.
He was over 7 yards a carry a season ago. He's at 3.4 this year.
Yeah, and we're kind of seeing that across the board with a lot of players in football in general, like Josh Jacobs for the Raiders. Last year, over 5 yards per carry, led the league in rushing. This year, he's barely over 3 yards per carry, so... and he's gotten the most touches of any running back in the league. So, you know, that's going to happen now, especially if teams know you're going to run the football a lot. They're going to key in on the run more, and it makes it more difficult to be able to do it successfully. But I'll be interested to see what happens with Corum, because as you see that shrink, you know, the shrink in production like that, and you've got a 2-back system, it makes you wonder if a team's really going to use a high pick, like a second-day pick on a running back that really is just a volume guy but isn't great at getting high yards per carry, you know, great efficiency with their carries. So there is some concern there. Then for Florida State, you got Johnny Wilson Jr., 5 catches for 82. He's really, like, I think he's super consistent, super solid. I don't think he's ever going to be like a... I think the best case scenario for him is Mike Evans. And like, Mike Evans is a great receiver. Mike Evans doesn't get as much respect as he deserves. But Mike Evans is not a flashy guy going to go out. Like, I don't think at any point we've ever considered Mike Evans to be the best receiver in football. But you look at his production, it's among the best.
Interesting size with him. 6'7", almost 240
huge.
Pounds.
He's massive.
I mean, it's kind of a tweener between tight end and wide receiver.
Exactly.
Play kind of blocking wise, not tight end level, but.
Yeah.
You flex him out like a tight end.
I imagine that he's going to get similar usage to Kelsey, where they're going to move him a lot and try to play him more in the slot, where he'll line up wide, move into the slot, get a little motion in, and basically just see if they can try to get the same kind of production where he's just going to run short possession-style routes, catch the ball, see what he can do after the catch. I mean, that's kind of what they're doing with him at Florida State right now anyways. Like, they're not throwing the football down the field to him. He's mainly just going to catch it in a medium, short to medium range, run after the catch. He's big. He's hard to tackle. I think that's kind of what you're going to see with Johnny Wilson Jr. And I think it works for him. I think it's great. I think he's going to be a first-round pick. I think he's going to be a Mike Evans type where he's just going to produce very well, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to be super flashy and blow you away with the production. It's just like, oh, yeah, Johnny Wilson Jr., he's good for 1,000 this year. He's good for 70, 80 catches, you know, 5-6 touchdowns. He's good for that. Like, I think that's kind of going to be where he's going to be at. Then you got Jaheim Bell, who's starting to get some notoriety there, a guy that you like. 3 catches, 41 yards. So, not going to get a ton of usage when you've got Keon Coleman on your team who had 4 for 24 and Johnny Wilson Jr. But still, you know, for a smaller tight end, you do want to see him get involved in that. And it's good to see Jaheim Bell getting that production. Then you got Michael Penix Jr., who leads the FBS in passing yards. Still, he was 24 for 42, 332 with 2 touchdowns. Dylan Johnson is running back, starting to make a name for himself. He had 23 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown. And then his two wide receivers, this top two wide receivers that played in the game, Rome Odunze, 3 catches for 111, 2 touchdowns. And Jalen Polk, 4 catches for 55 yards.
Two guys have been mocked to the Chiefs.
Yes. Like I said, I'm not confident that Odunze will be there.
I think he's gone.
But I think Jalen Polk is an option for them late in the first round. Then you've got Caleb Williams, 19 of 34 for 291 and a touchdown. I kind of feel like he's lost a little bit of steam here the last month or so.
At least he's still playing.
He's playing. He's playing. Remember, a month ago, their whole deal was, do we still want these guys? Is he still the top quarterback?
We called it out before the year started and said, USC, extremely talented. Yes. That defense, they're going to be let up. They're going to be let up.
After the San Jose State game, we both knew. Like,
I was like, okay, there's an issue with this defense.
I will say this. I think his wide receiver group is a little bit disappointing. I think, like, Dorian Singer was a guy that was really – you were starting to see – you saw some hype.
And Mario Williams.
Mario Williams, Taj Washington, who's kind of –
Brendan Rice started to gain, Jerry Rice's son.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't feel like any of those guys are elite. Like, those guys are
– no first-rounders, I don't know.
No, absolutely not. Like, maybe late third round. Like, mid to late third round, and then after that, probably third-day picks. But, I mean, I'm not seeing that from him, and it kind of feels like he's just carrying this team that is talented, but is not nearly as talented as the teams that they're playing against. Bo Nix in that game also.
New Heisman favorite.
Man, 23 for 31, 412 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, man. Bo Nix, I think, is really – he's making himself some money, man. I think he's making himself a lot of money.
I see him as top 15 in mock drafts now lately.
Yes.
For a guy that was fringe first-rounder to begin the year, has now put himself about 15.
I think – you got Caleb as the first quarterback. Then I think you got
Drake May.
They probably Drake May, even though I like Penix better. Then you got Penix, and then I think you got Bo Nix, which is crazy because you remember Bo Nix before he was at Oregon.
Yeah, he's
at
Auburn, yeah.
He was at Auburn. You saw some promise.
He did not play like this.
But he did not play like this. He looked far from that. Even last year at Oregon, it was like, okay, he's made some improvements, but, like, that's not a guy I'm looking at as a potential elite, you know, top-end quarterback in the first round. Bo Nix has turned the corner now. Like, now we got to start talking about him up there with Penix and May. Not quite Caleb, but we got to talk about him there. He does have a lot of talent around him. You know, his offensive line's really, really strong. But, man, like, I think he has made so much improvement in his game, in his reads, in his confidence. It's a far cry from what he did a couple years ago at Auburn. Then you got Quinn Ewers. Made his return. He had 22. He was 22 for 33. 317 with a touchdown and a pick. I think Quinn has put himself in a position where he's pretty comfortable. Pretty solid as a first round.
Yeah, first rounder.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I don't think he's wavered from there.
No, I think he's solidified himself as a first round. I could see him probably back into the teens there, somewhere between 15 and 20. A team that is looking to get younger at quarterback and develop them, Ewers is probably going to be their answer there. Jonathan Brooks, their running back at Texas, had 21 carries for 104 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he also had 3 catches for 74 yards. This is the value I'm talking about with Jonathan Brooks. Is like, not only is he a hard runner as just a pure running, as a pure rusher, but his ability to catch and his ability to run after the catch, it gives him so much value as a running back in the NFL because all these teams are looking for the unicorns like Bijan Robinson, who hasn't quite had the start to his career I think a lot of people were hoping for. But he's like that. He can run. He can catch the football. And catching the football in today's NFL as a running back, so valuable to a team. Then you've got Xavier Worthy, guy that we have seen get mocked to the Chiefs a lot. He's got 10 catches for 137 in this game. Very consistent. A.D. Mitchell, your guy. The other wide receiver there, 3 catches for 61 and a touchdown. He is very quickly moving up draft boards. I think right now, he's almost to a point where we can lock him in the first round. We'll see what he does in combine. We'll see what he does pro day. But I think he's getting to a point where we can almost lock him into the first round.
I think there's three to four guys that are first round picks. I think Ewers is first round, Xavier Worthy first round, A.D. Mitchell fringe first round, possibly second round, probable second round, and then Jatavion Sanders.
Yeah. And Jatavion in that game also had 4 catches for 47 yards. And then Drake May for UNC, 28 of 43, 342 with a touchdown and a pick. Still kind of, you know, jeopardizing the ball a little bit. Some bad turnovers. He had some games where he really didn't show much. Wasn't that impressive. But I think for Drake May, it's not about what he produces. It's about what the talent he shows, the arm talent, the measurables. Like he does make some amazing plays every now and then where it's like, okay, that's elite quarterback stuff in the NFL. Like he's just really starting to show that just from an actual like talent standpoint, that's someone that you can invest in long term. And that's I think the whole Drake May versus Penix at number two as the second quarterback taken, that's going to be a really interesting debate going into draft season. So going on to moneymakers here, one guy you brought up that was mocked to the Chiefs, Troy Franklin, 2 catches, 142 yards and a touchdown. He's very quickly rising up draft boards. Then you got Malik Washington, wide receiver out of Virginia. Man, I was looking at his stats because he's top 5 in receiving yards. I think he's number 4.
A little bit undersized, 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah, he's 5'9". He's listed at 5'9". He might actually be 5'8", because you know how it is. That a lot of times
he's number 2 in the country.
Number 2 in the country in receiving yards. 5 straight 100-yard receiving games. Yeah, he's 2nd in FBS in receiving yards. This guy is really starting to show out. And I say this, man. If there was anybody that was a Chiefs type of wide receiver, it would be Malik. It would be Malik Washington, the smaller, speedier guy who can line up in different roles. He's going to be a guy I think he'll be really interesting to watch down the stretch because he is very quietly, no hype right now. Mind you, this guy's a 5th-year senior. Like he's been around for a while, and he's not getting a lot of hype, and he's producing. And he's producing for his school that really isn't that great. Not a great football program there. And then finally, Jalen Green, an edge rusher for James Madison. He had 15 and a half sacks on the season. He did have last week a season-ending knee injury, so he's done for the year. That could very well affect his draft stock. But 15 and a half sacks, that's something to look out for.
No, it is. And there's one guy, Chris, I think deserves to be in this category. Cody Schrader. Former Truman State running back, didn't have 100 yards rushing in the game last year. He's put himself on the map. He's the leading rusher in the SEC. He deserves a little bit of run. All right, so he has 205 yards rushing and a touchdown. He had 5 catches, 116 yards. First running back in the history of the SEC to have 200 yards rushing and at least 100 yards receiving. Cody Schrader, I even saw some people throw out some Austin Eckler there. He's had a monster year, and, you know, him and Ray Davis, you know, from Kentucky, kind of leading the SEC in rushing. But he's been fantastic this year. And keep in mind, he did not have 100 yards rushing last year, but he's got a 138 this year, a 123, a 114, a 159, and now a 205. Cody Schrader's been running tough, man. But that's, again, one of the guys that late round to undrafted that I think can make a big difference for a team.
Yeah, I mean, running backs just become a position where you don't need to draft it high because there's so many good players. I mean, we obviously seen it with Pacheco here in Kansas City, but like so many positions have been they've been able to maximize value late in the rounds. Guys like Schrader, guys like Ray Davis, those guys are going to be so valuable for whoever drafts them in the on the third day. Like I said this after Ray Davis tore up Florida, what was it, a couple months ago now. I was like, dude, that guy's going to be a really good running back on Sundays in the NFL. And Schrader looks like that too.
Well, again, you know, Austin Eckler, undrafted. Yeah.
And the thing is like, you know, having that size like that but still being productive, it can give you a bit of an advantage because not a lot of guys are used to tackling guys that are the smaller type. So especially we got big, like 6'4" linemen there blocking for him. It can be a little tough to see these guys and to catch them. So it does kind of
serve you moneymakers.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you on that. Especially like nowadays.
If you're going to see him live this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, I will be seeing him live. Hopefully he doesn't do a whole lot to Florida. Hopefully he has a bad game against Florida.
Graham Mertz.
Wait, he had a good game against Georgia when they played him now a week and a half ago. So yeah, like I said, I'll say this, man. Mizzou's got some talent on that team, man.
Mizzou has some serious talent.
They got some talent on that team. So going to our Week 12 watch list, Colorado taking on Washington State. I believe this is on Friday night. Shedeur Sanders, Xavier Weaver, going to be the two guys to watch for in that game. Michigan takes on Maryland. And you got J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, Donovan.
See if they're going to have the same strategy of run, run, run.
That's going to be.
With the Heisman Trophy caliber
quarterback. I'll say this, man. J.J. McCarthy cannot like that game plan. When you are trying to get drafted in the first round and you get 8 pass attempts again in a top 10 matchup, like, this is a matchup between 2 top 10 teams and you are only throwing it 8 times in the game. Like, remember when Tim Tebow played the Chiefs at Arrowhead a few years, like over a decade ago?
Like 2 passes?
No, he had like 8, I think. I think he only completed 2.
Yeah.
But he had like 8 passes that game.
Oh.
That's kind of what it looks like. And generally when you're starting quarterback.
And I know Penn State's got a good defense, but
yeah,
come on.
But like still, come on. Like, this is college football. There's only so much great defense you can play at this level. So when you're starting quarterback who's a potential first round pick is only throwing it 8 times, something's off. I wonder if he was hurt or something, but man, like that's a weird look there. Chattanooga is taking on Alabama. It's going to be your standard guys, Dallas Turner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, McKinley Jackson, Malachi Moore, Terrion Arnold, and J.C. Latham. Rutgers takes on Penn State, Olufoshinu, Kalen King.
Corner
there, you know, probably going to be a second-day guy. Chop Robinson as well, though, again, he
finally came back.
Finally came back, but didn't really do much in that game. But Chop's another guy that you want to look out for. Probably a second-day edge rusher for Penn State. Louisville taking on Miami. Zion Nelson, Francis Mauigoa, the star tackles. Safety James Williams and safety Cameron Kinchins playing.
So two safeties for Miami to watch.
Yeah. So they got some good players there. Oklahoma taking on BYU. Tyler Guyton, the tackle that was mocked to the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to go tackle.
Chiefs love Oklahoma linemen. So.
Yeah, they do. They do like them. I mean, we've seen some Oklahoma linemen they brought in there. I mean, obviously Orlando Brown Jr. and Wanye Morris now. So they're not afraid to bring them in. But yeah, I don't see it happening, but you never know. Georgia takes on Tennessee. That's a matchup between 2 and 13. Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers, Kamari Lassiter, Javon Bullard, and tight end for Tennessee. Was it McCallan Castles? So going to be guys to watch out for in that matchup there. Wake Forest takes on Notre Dame. The two tackles you want to watch out for, Joe Alt, Blake Fisher for Notre Dame. And Autric Estime is another guy you want to watch out for as well. They're starting running back who at one point was leading the FBS in rushing yards. Notre Dame's kind of slowly but surely been falling since the start to the season, but you know, they're number 20 right now still, so they're still ranked and still relevant. Illinois takes on Iowa. This game's probably going to be terrible, probably going to be low scoring. I think the line for that game was under 30 for Iowa's game last week. It was like the total was under 30.
It hit 22.
Yeah, it was not good.
It's a record.
It's terrible. It's a terrible total. So this is probably going to be a defensive matchup again. Two defenders to watch out for Illinois. One is Jerzon Newton, the top defensive tackle in this class.
Which I think Pro Football Focus might have hit him 15th in their mock.
Yeah, that sounds about right for him. I think that that's an appropriate value for him, especially in a class with so many quarterbacks and receivers and tackles that are of high value. And then you also have Cooper DeJean, cornerback for Iowa. It's going to be someone to watch out for, even though I don't think the Chiefs are going to take corner. Then for UNC taking on Clemson, Drake May will be taking on Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on that Clemson defense. That'll be really interesting to watch out for. Again, Drake May is battling it out for that number two quarterback in the 24 draft class. Then you got UCLA taking on USC, the battle of the Los Angeles schools. And Laiatu Latu, my guy, edge rusher for the Bruins. And then they are a lot of names to watch out for on the USC offense. Caleb Williams, obviously. Then you have Brendan Rice. You have Taj Washington. You have Mario Williams and Dorian Singer, all wide receivers for the University of Southern California. Minnesota takes on number one Ohio State. Safety Tyler Newbin is the lone player you should be really watching out for on that Minnesota defense. Very possibly the best safety in this draft class. Super talented player. He's a ball hawk. You know, he definitely does a great job of making sure that teams aren't going down the field on him very much. That's going to be an interesting matchup there. But unfortunately, you know, you're playing Ohio State. Super talented offense there. You know, you're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka. On the defensive end, they're stacked. Both defensive tackles, Tyreek Williams, Michael Hall Jr., both edge rushers. JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, and also Denzel Burke, the guy that one of the mocks had the Chiefs drafting in the first round. Don't think it's going to happen. But still, Denzel Burke is a really, really great corner. Could be the best corner in this draft class, so make sure you watch it.
Might be the first one taken.
Might be, yeah, I think he might be the first, which is the reason why, like, again, the 31 to the Chiefs didn't make a lot of sense, because I don't think he's going to be there. Oregon takes on Arizona State. Bo Nix is going to be the big name to watch out for in this matchup.
And
here.
Franklin, the wide receiver.
Yeah, Franklin as well. I mean, you know, he's climbing up draft boards. Bo Nix is climbing up draft boards. So those are going to be the two to watch out for. It's also where former Florida quarterback Emory Jones is playing at now. Hasn't been doing great, but, you know, it's where he plays at now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Play with the production. It's just like, oh yeah, Johnny Wilson Jr., he's good for 1,000 this year. He's good for 70, 80 catches, you know, 5-6 touchdowns. He's good for that. Like, I think that's kind of going to be where he's going to be at. Then you got Jaheim Bell, who's starting to get some notoriety there, a guy that you like. Three catches, 41 yards. So not going to get a ton of usage when you've got Keon Coleman on your team with 4 for 24 and Johnny Wilson Jr. But still, you know, for a smaller tight end, you do want to see him get involved in that. And it's good to see Jaheim Bell getting that production. Then you got Michael Penix Jr., who leads the FBS in passing yards. Still, he was 24 for 42, 332 with two touchdowns. Dylan Johnson is running back, starting to make a name for himself. He had 23 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown. And then his two wide receivers, this top two wide receivers that played in the game, Rome Odunze, three catches for 111, two touchdowns. And Jalen Polk, four catches for 55 yards.
Two guys that have been mocked to the Chiefs.
Yes. Like I said, I'm not confident that Odunze will be there.
I think he's gone.
But I think Jalen Polk is an option for them late in the first round. Then you've got Caleb Williams, 19 of 34 for 291 and a touchdown. I kind of feel like he's lost a little bit of steam here the last month or so.
At least he's still playing.
He's playing. He's playing. Remember a month ago, their whole deal was, do we still want these guys? Is he still the top quarterback?
We called it out before the year started and said USC extremely talented. Yes. That defense, they're going to be let up. They're going to be let up.
After the San Jose State game, we both knew. Like,
I was like, okay, there's an issue with this defense.
I will say this. I think his wide receiver group is a little bit disappointing. I think, like, Dorian Singer was a guy that was really – you were starting to see – you saw some hype.
And Mario Williams.
Mario Williams, Taj Washington, who's kind of –
Brendan Rice started to gain, Jerry Rice's son.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't feel like any of those guys are elite. Like, those guys are
– no first-rounders, I don't know.
No, absolutely not. Like, maybe late third round. Like, mid to late third round, and then after that, probably third-day picks. But, I mean, I'm not seeing that from him, and it kind of feels like he's just carrying this team that is talented, but is not nearly as talented as the teams that they're playing against. Bo Nix in that game also.
New Heisman favorite.
Man, 23 for 31, 412 passing yards, four touchdowns, man. Bo Nix, I think, is really – he's making himself some money, man. I think he's making himself a lot of money.
I see him as top 15 in mock drafts now lately.
Yes.
For a guy that was fringe first-rounder to begin the year, has now put himself about 15.
I think – you got Caleb as the first quarterback. Then I think you got
Drake May.
They probably Drake May, even though I like Penix better. Then you got Penix, and then I think you got Bo Nix, which is crazy because you remember Bo Nix before he was at Oregon.
Yeah, he's
at
Auburn, yeah.
He was at Auburn. You saw some promise.
He did not play like this.
But he did not play like this. He looked far from that. Even last year at Oregon, it was like, okay, he's made some improvements, but, like, that's not a guy I'm looking at as a potential elite, you know, top-end quarterback in the first round. Bo Nix has turned the corner now. Like, now we got to start talking about him up there with Penix and May. Not quite Caleb, but we got to talk about him there. He does have a lot of talent around him. You know, his offensive line's really, really strong. But, man, like, I think he has made so much improvement in his game, in his reads, in his confidence. It's a far cry from what he did a couple years ago at Auburn. Then you got Quinn Ewers. Made his return. He had 22. He was 22 for 33. 317 with a touchdown and a pick. I think Quinn has put himself in a position where he's pretty comfortable. Pretty solid as a first round.
Yeah, first rounder.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I don't think he's wavered from there.
No, I think he's solidified himself as a first round. I could see him probably back into the teens there, somewhere between 15 and 20. A team that is looking to get younger at quarterback and develop them, Ewers is probably going to be their answer there. Jonathan Brooks, their running back at Texas, had 21 carries for 104 yards, two touchdowns, but he also had three catches for 74 yards. This is the value I'm talking about with Jonathan Brooks. It's like, not only is he a hard runner as just a pure running, as a pure rusher, but his ability to catch and his ability to run after the catch, it gives him so much value as a running back in the NFL, because all these teams are looking for the unicorns like Bijan Robinson, who hasn't quite had the start to his career I think a lot of people were hoping for. But he's like that. He can run. He can catch the football. And catching the football in today's NFL as a running back, so valuable to a team. Then you've got Xavier Worthy, guy that we have seen get mocked to the Chiefs a lot. He's got 10 catches for 137 in this game. Very consistent. A.D. Mitchell, your guy. The other wide receiver there, 3 catches for 61 and a touchdown. He is very quickly moving up draft boards. I think right now he's almost to a point where we can lock him in the first round. We'll see what he does in combine. We'll see what he does pro day. But I think he's getting to a point where we can almost lock him into the first round.
I think there's three to four guys that are first round picks. I think Ewers is first round. Xavier Worthy first round. A.D. Mitchell fringe first round, possibly second round, probable second round, and then Jatavion Sanders.
Yeah, and Jatavion in that game also had 4 catches for 47 yards. And then Drake May for UNC. 28 of 43, 342 with a touchdown and a pick. Still kind of, you know, jeopardizing the ball a little bit. Some bad turnovers. He had some games where he really didn't show much. Wasn't that impressive. But I think for Drake May, it's not about what he produces. It's about what he, the talent he shows, the arm talent, the measurables. Like he does make some amazing plays every now and then where it's like, okay, that's elite quarterback stuff in the NFL. Like he's just really starting to show that just from an actual like talent standpoint, that that's someone that you can invest in long term. And that's, I think the whole Drake May versus Penix at number two, as the second quarterback taken, that's going to be a really interesting debate going into draft season. So going on to moneymakers here, one guy you brought up that was mocked to the Chiefs, Troy Franklin, 2 catches, 142 yards and a touchdown. He's very quickly rising up draft boards. Then you got Malik Washington, wide receiver out of Virginia. Man, I was looking at his stats because he's top 5 in receiving yards. I think he's number 4.
A little bit undersized, what, 5'8", 5'9"?
Yeah, he's 5'9". He's listed at 5'9". He might actually be 5'8", because you know how it is. And a lot of times
he's number 2 in the country.
Number 2 in the country in receiving yards. 5 straight 100-yard receiving games. Yeah, he's 2nd in FBS in receiving yards. This guy is really starting to show out. And I'll say this, man. If there was anybody that was a Chiefs type of wide receiver, it would be Malik. It would be Malik Washington, the smaller, speedier guy who can line up in different roles. He's going to be a guy I think he'll be really interesting to watch down the stretch because he is very quietly, no hype right now. Mind you, this guy's a 5th-year senior. Like he's been around for a while, and he's not getting a lot of hype, and he's producing. And he's producing for his school that really isn't that great. Not a great football program there. And then finally, Jalen Green, an edge rusher for James Madison. He had 15 and a half sacks on the season. He did have last week a season-ending knee injury, so he's done for the year. That could very well affect his draft stock. But 15 and a half sacks, that's something to look out for.
No, it is. And there's one guy, Chris, I think deserves to be in this category. Cody Schrader. Former Truman State running back, didn't have 100 yards rushing in the game last year. He's put himself on the map. He's the leading rusher in the SEC. He deserves a little bit of running. All right, so he has 205 yards rushing and a touchdown. He had 5 catches, 116 yards. First running back in the history of the SEC, they have 200 yards rushing and at least 100 yards receiving. Cody Schrader, I even saw some people throw out some Austin Eckler there. He's had a monster year, and, you know, him and Ray Davis, you know, from Kentucky, kind of leading the SEC in rushing. But he's been fantastic this year. And keep in mind, he did not have 100 yards rushing last year, but he's got a 138 this year, a 123, a 114, a 159, and now a 205. Cody Schrader's been running tough, man. But that's, again, one of the guys that late round to undrafted that I think can make a big difference for a team.
Yeah, I mean, running backs just become a position where you don't need to draft it high because there's so many good players. I mean, we obviously seen it with Pacheco here in Kansas City, but like so many positions have been, they've been able to maximize value late in the rounds. Guys like Schrader, guys like Ray Davis, those guys are going to be so valuable for whoever drafts them on the third day. Like I said this after Ray Davis tore up Florida. What was it, a couple months ago now? I was like, dude, that guy's going to be a really good running back on Sundays in the NFL. And Schrader looks like that too.
Well, again, you know, Austin Eckler, undrafted. Yeah.
And the thing is like, you know, having that size like that but still being productive, it can give you a bit of an advantage because not a lot of guys are used to tackling guys that are the smaller type. So especially we got big, like 6'4" linemen there blocking for him. It can be a little tough to see these guys and to catch them. So it does kind of
serve you moneymakers.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you on that. Especially like nowadays.
If you're going to see him live this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, I will be seeing him live. Hopefully he doesn't do a whole lot to Florida. Hopefully he has a bad game against Florida.
Graham Mertz.
Wait, he had a good game against Georgia when they played him now a week and a half ago. So yeah, like I said, I'll say this, man. Mizzou's got some talent on that team.
Mizzou has some serious talent.
They got some talent on that team. So going to our Week 12 watch list, Colorado taking on Washington State. I believe this is on Friday night. Shedeur Sanders, Xavier Weaver, going to be the two guys to watch for in that game. Michigan takes on Maryland, and you got J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards.
See if they're going to have the same strategy of run, run, run.
That's going to be
Heisman Trophy caliber
quarterback. I'll say this, man. J.J. McCarthy cannot like that game plan. When you are trying to get drafted in the first round and you get 8 pass attempts again in a top 10 matchup, like this is a matchup between 2 top 10 teams, and you are only throwing it 8 times in the game. Like, that's like, remember when Tim Tebow played the Chiefs at Arrowhead a few years, like over a decade
ago?
Like
2 passes?
No, he had like 8, I think. I think he only completed 2.
Yeah.
But he had like 8 passes that game.
Oh.
That's kind of what it looks like. And generally when you're starting quarterback,
and I know Penn State's got a good defense, but
yeah,
come on.
But like still, come on. Like, this is college football. There's only so much great defense you can play at this level, so when your starting quarterback, who's a potential first-round pick, is only throwing it 8 times, something's off. I wonder if he was hurt or something, but man, like that's a weird look there. Chattanooga is taking on Alabama. It's going to be your standard guys: Dallas Turner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, McKinley Jackson, Malachi Moore, Terrion Arnold, and J.C. Latham. Rutgers takes on Penn State. Olufoshinu, Kalen King,
corner
there, you know, probably going to be a second day guy. Chop Robinson as well, though. Again, he finally came back, but didn't really do much in that game. But Chop's another guy that you want to look out for. Probably a second day edge rusher for Penn State. Louisville taking on Miami. Zion Nelson, Francis Mauigoa, the star tackles. Safety James Williams and safety Cameron Kinchins playing.
So two safeties for Miami to watch.
Yeah. So they got some good players there. Oklahoma taking on BYU. Tyler Guyton, the tackle that was mocked to the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to go tackle.
Chiefs love Oklahoma linemen. So.
Yeah, they do. They do like them. I mean, we've seen some Oklahoma linemen they brought in there. I mean, obviously Orlando Brown Jr. and Wanye Morris now. So they're not afraid to bring them in. But yeah, I don't see it happening, but you never know. Georgia takes on Tennessee. That's a matchup between 2 and 13. Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers, Kamari Lassiter, Javon Bullard, and tight end for Tennessee. Was it McCallan Castles? So going to be guys to watch out for in that matchup there. Wake Forest takes on Notre Dame. The two tackles you want to watch out for, Joe Alt, Blake Fisher for Notre Dame. And Autric Estime is another guy you want to watch out for as well. They're starting running back, who at one point was leading the FBS in rushing yards. Notre Dame's kind of slowly but surely been falling since the start to the season. But, you know, they're number 20 right now still, so they're still ranked and still relevant. Illinois takes on Iowa. This game's probably going to be terrible, probably going to be low scoring. I think the line for that game was under 30. For Iowa's game last week, it was like the total was under 30.
It hit 22.
Yeah, it was not good.
It's a record.
It's terrible. It's a terrible total. So this is probably going to be a defensive matchup again. Two defenders to watch out for Illinois. One is Jerzon Newton, the top defensive tackle in this class,
which I think Pro Football Focus might have hit him 15th in their mock.
Yeah, that sounds about right for him. I think that that's an appropriate value for him, especially in a class with so many quarterbacks and receivers and tackles that are of high value. And then you also have Cooper DeJean, cornerback for Iowa. It's going to be someone to watch out for, even though I don't think the Chiefs are going to take corner. Then for UNC taking on Clemson, Drake May will be taking on Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on that Clemson defense. That'll be really interesting to watch out for. Again, Drake May is battling it out for that number two quarterback in the 24 draft class. Then you got UCLA taking on USC, the battle of the Los Angeles schools. And Liatu Latu, my guy, edge rusher for the Bruins. And then they are a lot of names to watch out for on the USC offense. Caleb Williams, obviously. Then you have Brendan Rice. You have Taj Washington. You have Mario Williams and Dorian Singer, all wide receivers for the University of Southern California. Minnesota takes on number one Ohio State. Safety Tyler Newbin is the lone player you should be really watching out for on that Minnesota defense. Very possibly the best safety in this draft class. Super talented player. He's a ball hawk. You know, he definitely does a great job of making sure that teams aren't going down the field on him very much. That's going to be an interesting matchup there. But unfortunately, you know, you're playing Ohio State. Super talented offense there. You know, you're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka. On the defensive end, they're stacked. Both defensive tackles, Tyleek Williams, Michael Hall Jr., both edge rushers. JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, and also Denzel Burke, the guy that one of the mocks had the Chiefs drafting in the first round. Don't think it's going to happen. But still, Denzel Burke is a really, really great corner. Could be the best corner in this draft class, so make sure you watch it.
Might be the first one taken.
Might be, yeah, I think he might be the first, which is the reason why, like, again, the 31 to the Chiefs didn't make a lot of sense, because I don't think he's going to be there. Oregon takes on Arizona State. Bo Nix is going to be the big name to watch out for in this matchup.
And
here.
Franklin, the wide receiver.
Yeah, Franklin as well. I mean, you know, he's climbing up draft boards. Bo Nix is climbing up draft boards. So those are going to be the two to watch out for. It's also where former Florida quarterback Emory Jones is playing at now. Hasn't been doing great, but, you know, it's where he plays at now. And then ODU. Old Dominion taking on Georgia Southern. Possibly the top linebacker in this draft class, Jason Henderson, plays for them. He's got 150 tackles on the year.
Yeah, we like Old Dominion players.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. There's a couple of guys we mocked to the Chiefs from ODU.
150 in a college football season is
150
insane.
Is crazy. It is insane. I mean, 150 in the NFL is a great number for tackles, let alone doing that in the college season when we're 11 weeks into the season. And he's probably, you know, he's probably played somewhere in that 10 to 11 range. Nasty ass number of tackles to have. Then you've got North Alabama taking on Florida State. Their receivers, Johnny Wilson Jr., Keon Coleman, edge rusher Jared Verse, tight end Jaheim Bell, guys to watch out for, especially Keon Coleman. Keep an eye on Coleman. That guy's got a lot of talent. Got the size, got the speed, agility. He's going to be one of the most intriguing receivers in this draft class.
6'4" returning.
Yeah, a 6'4 return is all you need to know.
Dominating wide receiver.
That's all you need to know is a 6'4 return man at the collegiate level. That's all you need to know there. Kansas State taking on KU. Ben Sinnott, tight end for K-State. And Cooper Beebe on that offensive line for the Wildcats. Going to be guys to watch out for in that regard. Washington takes on Oregon State. Michael Penix Jr., Romo Dunze, Jalen McMillan, should he play? And Jalen Polk are going to be guys to watch out for. Oregon State quarterback DJ Uiagalelei is going to be a guy to watch out for as well. Could be a late round.
Former Clemson QB.
Going to be a guy to watch out for late in the draft. He could be one of those guys that ends up being like a Joshua Dobbs type, where it's like, because he's taken some big steps since he's left Clemson. He's improved his game a lot. He could be a Joshua Dobbs type, where he turns into like the next Ryan Fitzpatrick, traveling around, playing well for teams, and you know, ends up being a very good spot starter, backup quarterback. You've got Florida taking on Mizzou. Ricky Pearsall, Chris Abrams, Drain, Cody Schrader, guys you want to look out for. Mizzou's got a lot of damn talent. Luther Burden's going to be a guy to watch out for, even though he's not going to be draft eligible in 24.
Cody Schrader's interesting, the running back.
Yeah. Like, that's running backs in general.
Chris Abrams-Drain. Yeah.
Abrams-Drain, very good corner. Very underrated guy. Probably
in the really climbed this year.
Yeah, he has. He has. Like, Mizzou's got a lot of talent on their offense. Texas takes on Iowa State. Quinn Ewers, Xavier Worthy, Jonathan Brooks, Jatavion Sanders. All guys to watch out for on defense. Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy II, Jalen Catalon, a safety for them, and wide receiver A.D. Mitchell. And then finally, Georgia State takes on LSU. Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Mason Smith, Makai Wingo. Then you got Garrett Dellinger, wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. All guys to watch. That LSU team is stacked for the draft. So many great players there. So many great prospects. A lot of interesting things.
Not going to have 14 taken like a few years ago.
No.
But it's an NFL roster.
No, they definitely have a lot of NFL talent. A lot of those teams in the SEC are stacked full of NFL talent. So, going to be a good weekend for football. Not a ton of big-time marquee matchups like we've seen in the last month or so.
The SEC's playing a lot of FCS. It's their FCS weekend.
Yeah, this is where a lot of those teams are kind of getting geared up before they get into like their big rivalry games and whatnot. So, this is where they're going to try to blow out those matchups and then get to the rivalry games before championship weekend. But still a lot of good football to be played, a lot of interesting matchups. I think now there's a lot of guys that have solidified their spots in the draft as far as like round goes. Maybe the part of the round that they go can still be affected.
The best news, we just listed a whole bunch of junior players.
Tons.
They can be in the senior
bowl. They can be in the
senior bowl.
Oh, man, Jim Nagy's going to love that.
But you know what? A lot of guys go for the practices and don't stay for the game.
No.
It's okay.
Just yeah.
Go to the all the talent valuers go down for the practices. Right. They bolt.
They bolt
a lot of times before the game.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, there's
you
tons.
You can't get anything determined in All-Star.
Right, yeah. There's tons of the practices are really great to watch. Like,
if everybody goes.
If you've never watched Senior Bowl practice, you got to. It is so interesting to watch. And a lot of these kids, like, this is, like, their best time to get reps against other really top-talented players. So, like, I remember Colin Saunders. He did awesome at the Senior Bowl. Like, he made a name for himself.
A lot of guys jump at least 2 to 3 rounds sometimes with the great Senior Bowl because you're going head-to-head against some of the best talent. It was like, you separate yourself.
Yeah.
Like, okay, look at this talent this guy's got, because you'll see defensive linemen go against some of the best offensive linemen in college football. And, again, that's where the great evaluation happens.
Wanya Morris as well really kind of showed out last year in the Senior – well, earlier this year in the Senior Bowl as well. So, I mean, we've seen – it happened in the Senior Bowl where guys get to really showcase that, especially because you get that NFL coaching. And once you get that, that's a way for you to get better. You show how coachable you are. All those coaches there that are at the Senior Bowl, they're going to go back to their teams and be like, hey, dog, I really like this kid. I really like this kid. He learned. He was eager to get better. Yeah, I like this kid. So
something to watch the combine.
Yeah. Definitely something to watch out for. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated on the best matchups for next week. Getting closer to conference championship weekend. So, this is really now where we're starting to wind down the college football season. Also, as well, once that season's done, once we get to bowl season, we're obviously going to have to change up a lot of our content. We're going to do some mock drafts of our own. And we will definitely dive more into these mock drafts as the season comes along. So, for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. We'll catch you guys next week. Thank you guys for listening.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.